So, this is a nice verse. And it is a verse that there can be lots of questions. Because when we explain verses of this nature, then we have counter questions. People may ask that I heard this just as how you're speaking dogmatically about your religious path. Other religious people, they speak the same way about their path. And everybody is claiming to be right. And everybody has, to some degree, formed faith in their path. The Christian says, whatever way you choose to worship, I make your faith steady. So they have some steady faith in what they're doing. So as a result, they, in order to obtain that steady faith, they must be receiving some reward. Otherwise, they wouldn't have that faith. So, what is the difference? What is the difference in what you're saying, what you're doing, and what they're saying and what they're doing? So, it requires us to explain ourselves why we are making such statements. We're making these statements on the basis of authority. So, again, there will be counter argument that these people has authority also, whether it's the Bible, it's the Quran, they has authority. So, on the basis of what we are accepting, our authorities, they are free from four defects. These defects, cheating, illusion, imperfect senses, and the propensity to make mistakes. And besides this, they has the ability to see present, past, and the future. And these authorities, they are coming down in what is understood to be a disciplic succession. So, in some of the scriptures, we'll find that there may be persons we can give credit to as have being free from the propensity to cheat, illusion, imperfect senses, and like that. And in some of the scriptures, they are presentation of present, past, and future. So they had vision. But we can see that this one thing is missing. A missing of a disciplic succession. This is a missing link. Disciplic succession. So, we are accepting on the basis, these bases together, this disciplic succession, imperfect senses, and ability to see present, past, and future, these four defects. So, because we accept our authorities, and they, not only as authorities, they follow what they are teaching. So we follow them. And because we are following them, it is expected that if we follow nicely, we'll get similar results. So Krishna in this verse, Gajendra is making this point that neither the demigods, the sages, or unintelligent people can understand this supreme actor. This actor, so we see that sometimes they're artists on stage, they're performing different kinds of dance. And there's a large audience, and sometimes people are so enlivened by what is going on in terms of the dancing and like that. But most of them, if you ask the question, do you actually understand what is the body language, what is the meaning of the body language in the dance? People don't understand. What is the gesture of certain foot movements, head movements, hand movements? What is the meaning of them? What is the actress is actually trying to tell you? They don't understand. They understand that there is a dance and there is good music, and it don't look too clumsy. It look good somehow or the other. So it's nice. That's all. So in the same way, this supreme artist, Krishna, when he displays his activities in this mature world, manifesting this creation, dissolving this creation, even the demigods and great sages, they remain bewildered. What is going on? So, if they are bewildered, then we can safely say then nobody will understand. This is not true, then nobody will understand. So the question is that if they have the ability, the great sages and demigods, if they have that full ability to fully understand Krishna, it means that they has to be in a superior position than Krishna. But because they are not in a superior position to Krishna, then they cannot understand Krishna. Unless the author of a book, he explained the purpose of the book, the meaning behind the book, then others may read the book, but there is simply speculation as to what is the conclusion of the author. Only the author can explain that. So only Krishna can explain that. And this Krishna is explaining that in Bhagavad Gita 10.2. Name vidu sura ganda prabhavam na mahasraya rasaya aham adir hi devanam mahasinam cha sarvasa. Neither the host of the demigods nor the great sages know my origin or opulence. For in every respect, I am the source of the demigods and the sages. So because Krishna is the source, this is the disqualification by which anyone can make that claim that they know Krishna. They have full understanding of Krishna. So to make that claim is simply a foolish escalation that one know Krishna in total. Because Krishna is the origin and the source. Therefore, whatever ability, as Krishna explained in the Bhagavad Gita, that I am the intelligence of the intelligent. So Krishna is the source of that intelligence. Because Krishna is the source of that intelligence, therefore your ability, Krishna says also, that I am the ability in man. So whatever ability one possesses, whatever intelligence one possesses, that has been awarded by Krishna. So if Krishna is the one that is awarding this ability and intelligence, therefore one does not has that ability to know Krishna in total, or know Krishna at all, unless Krishna reveals himself. So there are the seven great sages that actually the sons of Lord Brahma, and before them the four Kumaras. These are all authorities of the universe, and they are the great sages. But their ability and their intelligence is coming from Krishna. So Gajendra is making this point that no one has this ability to actually know Krishna. So how much so is the unintelligent person? So the unintelligent person generally, sometimes unintelligent person can be categorized as persons who more or less don't know to read and write. But also it can be categorized to persons who do not have knowledge of a particular subject matter. So we may meet persons in our fields of preaching, may has a PhD in different fields, doctorate in different fields, and sometimes we try preaching to them or we try explaining about God, and they're very absurd, they're making all kinds of challenges. But in reality, they are unintelligent because they have no dedication on this path of trying to understand the science of God. They may have lots of degree in other fields, but in terms of understanding the science of God, they don't have any understanding. So in this way, they are unintelligent. And Prabhupada used the term, from the little they know, they speculate on what they don't know. So they may have a vast amount of knowledge in a certain field, and they may use that to their advantage to speculate in terms of Krishna consciousness or God realization to understand who God is. But that remain a stumbling block for them. They will not still be able to understand the Supreme Lord by such means. In the 6th canto, 9:36, there has been explained there the demigods is offering prayers to the Supreme Lord. And they are explaining the same point. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all contradictions can be reconciled in you. O Lord, since you are the Supreme Person, the reservoir of unlimited spiritual quality, the Supreme Controller, your unlimited glories are inconceivable to the conditioned souls. Many modern theologians argue about right and wrong without knowing what is actually right. Their arguments are always false, and their judgment inconclusive, because they have no authorized evidence with which to gain knowledge of you. Because their minds are agitated by scriptures containing false conclusion, they are unable to understand the truth concerning you. Furthermore, because of polluted eagerness to arrive at the right conclusion, their theories are incapable of revealing you, who are transcendental to their material conception. You are one without a second, and therefore in you contradictions like doing and not doing, happiness and distress are not contradictory. Your potency is so great that it can do and undo anything as you like. With the help of that potency, what is impossible for you? Since there is no duality in your constitutional position, you can do anything by the influence of your energy. So this In this verse, the term has been used that this because their minds are agitated by scriptures containing false conclusion, they are unable to understand the truth concerning you. Furthermore, because of polluted eagerness. So this eagerness is something we have been always encouraged to have eagerness, enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness. Well, here we are hearing about eagerness that is polluted. It is polluted. Why? Because it is mixed with fruitive activities. It is mixed with the conception of the God having a material body. He's impersonal. It is mixed with all these conclusions of the different scriptures. Different scriptures that give different theories, false theories. And because they are eager to understand the Lord, but they refuse to accept the actual authorities. So, sometimes you meet people, they're willing to make argument about the existence of God, or actually who God is, or whether Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or maybe Lord Shiva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when asked who is their authority, they may, for materialistic people, they will generally give the conclusion of some scientists as to who God is. And they're not willing to accept the statements of the scripture. So in general, again, we come back to this point to explain to them that the persons you are relying on for your theories in your explanation as to whether there is a God or there is not a God, he has a problem. His problem is that he is prone to make mistakes. He is prone to cheat or be cheated. He has imperfect senses. He doesn't have the ability to see present, past, and future, nor is he accepting his knowledge from an authority. Because he doesn't follow this path, he is not able to give you perfect knowledge. He may have some ability to read and write. He may possess some name, some title behind it, in front of his name or behind his name, but nevertheless, it is not sufficient for him to actually reveal God. God can only be revealed by himself. If one follow the actual authorities, then he'll be revealed in the course of time. So the similar statement we'll make to persons who may bring quotation from other scriptures as to making their presentations as to whether Lord Shiva is God or different demigods, Indra is God, Surya Bhagwan, he is God. They make all these statements. And we accept this statement coming from this Srimad Bhagavatam. Why do we accept this statement coming from the Srimad Bhagavatam? Unlike the other Puranas, this Srimad Bhagavatam is being carefully protected by the pure devotees. This is the powerful effect of the Srimad Bhagavatam among the other Puranas. It's being carefully protected by the pure devotees. It is the Amala Puran, spotless Puran. It is spotless because it is protected by the pure devotees. So the pure devotees, they have this ability that they are free from these four defects. And they are coming down in this disciplic succession. They are not manufacturing knowledge. So because of this reason, we can safely follow this guidance of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in this way, by following this guidance of the Srimad Bhagavatam with firm faith, we can arrive at the conclusion that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This Krishna himself was explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in Bhagavad Gita, 15:18, Krishna says, because I am transcendental beyond both the fallible and infallible, and because I am the greatest, I am celebrated both in this world, both in the world and in the Vedas as that Supreme Person. And then in 15:20, he says, this is the most confidential part of Vedic scriptures, O sinless one, and it is disclosed by me. Whoever understands this will become wise, and his endeavor will know perfection. Ti guyatama shastram. Most confidential knowledge of the scriptures is to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, the question may be asked then, since Krishna is not knowable to great sages and demigods, what is your authority? How can you understand him? So, in answer, Krishna says, Yoginam api sarvesham madgatirantaratmanam sradhavan bhajate yomam. He says, one who, of all yogis, one who engages in loving service unto me is the best of all. He says, this is my opinion. So Krishna is saying, if those persons who render loving service unto me, they are considered by me to be the topmost yogi. He says, but, and this is my opinion. So Krishna has a right to that opinion. This is sometimes in an argument. This argument is going, and one person is saying, although defeated, he's saying, well, this is my opinion. Whatever you're saying is your part, but that's your opinion. This is my opinion. He holds on to his own opinion. So, but Krishna is saying that this is my opinion. My opinion what? My opinion that if somebody renders service unto me, he is the best of all yogis. So, we are following that path of rendering loving service to Krishna. So how are we sure that we are actually following that path of rendering loving service to Krishna? Because Krishna is declaring how to render this loving service unto me. Just always think of me, become my devotee, worship me. Thus you will come to me. Of this there is no doubt. Offer me a leaf, a flower, fruit or water with love, I'll accept it. So Krishna is explaining how to render this loving service. And then, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna appeared himself as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach how to render loving service to Krishna. How to render loving service unto Krishna. So, because we follow this path of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as to how to render loving service unto Krishna. We're following authorities. Prabhupada making that point here earlier that we have to follow the different incarnations of the Lord, and we have to follow their instructions, follow their path. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is teaching this path as to how to render loving service unto Krishna. Constantly hear Srimad Bhagavatam, constantly chant the holy names of Krishna, develop the mood of hankering to love Krishna, hankering for Krishna, understanding Krishna's desire to render loving service unto Srimati Radharani and Srimati Radharani's desires to simply satisfy Krishna. To understand this intricate loving service to Krishna, this is our motto in Krishna consciousness. So, because we are following that path, at the moment we may or we may not be fully purified. We may not be pure devotees, or we may be pure devotees. But nevertheless, because we are following that path, we're following in that disciplic succession, we, on that basis, we have the authority to speak. On that basis. Because we're following the path of the authorities. Nevertheless, there will be persons more expert than us, superior to us, like the demigods and other great sages. But until and unless one follow the path of loving service to Krishna, Krishna will still remain a mystery. One may be able to speak so much from the scripture, but the actual understanding, the actual revelation of Krishna within the core of the heart will still remain a mystery. Because Krishna reveals himself on his own accord. He is not bound by the rules and the regulations of the scripture that because you follow brahmacharya, you follow sannyas ashram, because you read the scripture every day, then I am obligated to you that I has to reveal myself to you. No. He reveals himself by his own causeless mercy. So, the question may be made that, well then if he reveals himself by his own causeless mercy, then maybe I don't have to do anything special. I can sit back and relax and wait until he ready. It is not like that, sir. Krishna says, yayatamam prapadyante, as you surrender, I will reward you. So if you sit back, relax, and do nothing, Krishna will award you also nothing. So we have to aspire for this loving service to Krishna. And by aspiring for this loving service to Krishna, following in the path of the authorities, then gradually the purification takes place. Gradually the purification takes place. We, either in this life or in the next life, hopefully we are able to accomplish that in this life. We can attain to pure love of God. And by attaining to this position, we can go back home, back to Godhead. So this is only for the path, only for those who follow this path of wanting to know Krishna, wanting to render loving service to Krishna. They will achieve this position by which they can go back home, back to Godhead. They can understand Krishna in an intimate way. They can know Krishna in person. They can know his likes, his dislikes. They can understand the beauty, his beauty. What is the beauty of his eyes? What is the beauty of his cheeks, his lips, his face, his nose, his forehead, the limbs of his body? They can understand that because they will come face to face with Krishna, even in this life. And they can understand the sweetness of Krishna. The sweetness of hearing about Krishna, the sweetness of Krishna, the taste of Krishna, the sweetness of Krishna's saliva, the sweetness of the sound of Krishna's flute. They can understand the sweetness of his talk, his tone. They can understand the sweetness. Because they are interacting with Krishna. And they can understand his opulence. Yeah. So, just like a rich man, a poor man will never have access to understand, or no one except those who are intimately associated with the rich man will never have the access to understand what is his actual personality, what is his likes, what is his dislikes. So similarly with Krishna, unless one is able to enter into an intimate loving relationship with him, then no one will be able to understand his actual position. So the criteria to get to this platform is one has to come to this platform of rendering intimate, loving service unto Krishna. And then he's able to break these barriers where even maybe many of the demigods and great sages may not be able to enter. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions or comments?